Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the ordinary meeting of Council on the 28th of August. Council acknowledges and pays respect to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continual custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it is Council policy to record Council meetings in accordance with Council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the meeting. For those members who have got and attendees who have got a mobile phone, would they please turn them off or onto a silent? Thank you. Apologies for this evening. We have one apology in Alderman Jeff Matthews. Declarations of interest.
Yes, on 3.4.1.
Alderman Milne. No others? Thank you. Item 3.1.1, confirmation of council minutes. Move it, please. Alderman Laycock, seconded.
I'll second.
Alderman Milne, Alderman Laycock.
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Alderman Milne.
Nothing further.
Speakers. Alderman Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, aye. Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. Item 3.1.2, special council meeting, 7th of August. Alderman Jarman, seconded. Alderman Rockliffe. Alderman Jarman. Alderman Rockliffe. Speakers. Alderman Jarman to close. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, aye. Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. Item 3.2.1, responses to questions raised at prior meetings. Do I have a mover of the recommendation on page?
No.
Alderman Goodwin. Seconded. Alderman Rockliffe. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Rockliffe.
No, it's all in the report. Thank you.
Speakers. Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, aye.
Aye.
Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. Item 3.2.2, question on notice from the public. Recommendation, I move it, please.
So moved.
Alderman Rockliffe, seconded. Alderman Emmerdon. Alderman Rockliffe.
It's all in the report. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Emmerdon. For the speakers, Alderman Rockliffe to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, aye.
Aye.
Against, nay. Motion carried unanimously. Now comes to the point of the evening, the questions without notice from the public, or any members of the gallery that would like to ask council a question, would they please step up to the microphone and clearly state their name and address and ask their question.
Tony Butler, 2 Drew Street, East Devonport. What I'd like to ask is the council, as a council, what does dispensation mean if you take over land? Carpet factory, got a dispensation order, yet if you go around and looking, anybody looking at the area or whatever, it comes up as it's still under residential. Is it residential still, or does dispensation apply to whenever they move?
The word dispensation is a technical term which appears in the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act of 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened on the site to which you are referring, and it was not a council decision, it's a Tasmanian Planning Commission decision, the owner of that property made an application to carry on a business which was not a permitted use in the general residential zone, and that whole zone is still zoned general residential at this stage. After going through the processes that the Act requires, which is advertising, getting public representations, making the report to council, it is then referred to the TPC, and they have used the technical term dispensation to allow that owner, and that owner only, to operate the business of processing and packing potatoes at that site.
Thank you. Now, while I'm at it, in Brook Street, there was a seedling place there for years. I think it could have had something to do with vegetables or potatoes. And that's down as residential, but in the last 3 weeks, a trucking operation in Everick's taken over. If you go out there, it's worse. It's not real good. I don't know how many acres it'd be, but there's 3 or 4 and they can't bring the logs in. They go there, they're steaming down trucks, and it's residential, and they should not, and I quote, not be there.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. We'll take that one on notice.
And this is from the 10th of June 2014 for mobility steps to be put down in Wheeler Street. 10th of June 2014, as all I know is up till now nothing's been done about it, but it says that when you've got money you would do something. Surely it wouldn't take 3 years to put a couple of ramps up the size of this for them to go up on their disability.
Again, we'll take mobiles. That on notice, Mr. Butler, and get you an answer back.
That's somewhere. It. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. Dear Chairperson, I wish to submit this question. The Julie Burgess was dry docked for maintenance last month. Could you inform me of the full cost of repairs plus slippage fees as well? Is this an annual cost to the ratepayers of Devonport? I wish to submit this question. Could you please tell me why the council-owned land, which is for sale, so presumably for sale, at 2 to 12 Murray Street, East Devonport, wasn't advertised in the Advocate under the highest tender? This seems to be a norm lately, with the council not initially advertising the parkland for sale at 108 Tarleton Street, East Devonport. The council finally advertised the land for sale with pressure from the ratepayers of Devonport. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. We'll provide you with a written response. Further questions?
Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindatta. The following questions are without notice the ordinary meeting, 28th of August 2017, and are directed to the Mayor and the General Manager. Question 1. In response to my question 2, dated 24th of July 2017, regarding council-funded fit-out of tenancies within the food pavilion, council stated, provision of $850,000 was included in the budget approved by council for fit out and allows for work such as floor finishes, partition walls, ceilings and equipment fit for purpose, and as such be agreed with tenants. Will council please expand on what equipment fit for purpose is, and does it extend to concessions or otherwise, including equipment such as kitchen equipment and fixtures?
Thank you. We'll provide a response in writing.
Okay. Question 2. In response to my question 3, dated 21st of August 2017, asking if Council could please advise who are the owners, shareholders and directors of Southern Wild Distillery Proprietary Limited and Providore Place Proprietary Limited, both leaseholders with the Devonport City Council, Council responded, "This is not information Council maintains. Company information can be sourced through a search with the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, ASIC. Accordingly, can Council please confirm the following? Is Council aware of a 50% change in ownership of Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited with the substitution of Forager Holdings Proprietary Limited in lieu of previous 50% owner Pollination Partners Proprietary Limited?"
Again, we'll provide a response in writing to you, Mr. Gardam.
You don't know?
I never said that. I said we'll provide a response to you in writing.
Can Council advise as to the reason for 50% change in ownership?
Again, I'll provide the response to you in writing, Mr. Gardam.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And item C, has the change of ownership been approved by Council, as is a normal requirement of contracts, And has the head lease agreement with Providore Place Devonport Proprietary Limited been amended and re-signed to capture the change in any associated securities within the contract?
Again, written response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Just rude to talk to a person's back.
Mr. Velicott,
that was all,
Mr. Please,
thank you. The name is Bob Velicott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport, ratepayer. Mayor and Alderman, during discussions at the Link Library Living Room meeting on the 4th of August 2017, a meeting which Jeremy Rockcliffe, MHA, Deputy Premier and Minister for Education and Training, you, Mayor, and others also attended, I made several comments and asked some questions about the state government's involvement in the Living City project. I made several comments and asked some questions about the state government's involvement in the Living City. The minister admitted in words to the effect that he has repeatedly stated Living City is a project that will be of benefit for the entire Northwest Coast. He also admitted that the government originally had a contract to part fund the construction of the new Link Library and lease rent it back at $1 a year for 50 years and had recently decided to change the original contract from a grant of $10 million and change it to a strata title purchase. Well, I checked my facts with the Honourable Jeremy Rockcliffe, and I got a note back in regards to that, and he disputes the $10 million, and he says it was council's or government's contribution is $14 million, so that might have to be just sorted out. I then mentioned, was that to save the dollar a year rent? When it was put to him that as Devonport already had a Link Library owned by the state and that in reality the government will not be providing any real additional benefit, he did not dispute that fact. My reply, Minister, in other words, having encouraged Devonport Council to borrow approximately $40 million, an amount ratepayers, to coin an old phrase, will be left holding the baby, they will now be repaying for years to come and thus providing benefit to other Northwest region as the Devonport's expense. As a consequence of this, Devonport will have the largest debt of any council in Tasmania. This comment was not disputed. The Deputy Premier was then asked why he agreed to allow almost the entire cost of Stage 1, approximately $50 million, to be financed by Devonport ratepayers from their cash reserves and borrowings. This, the response to that question, in my opinion, was that no straightforward or logical answer was given. Mayor and Alderman, I now ask, will you, Mayor and Alderman, on behalf of the ratepayers, make proper, and I emphasise proper, representation to the state government, requesting that they give financial assistance in the form of a special grant to relieve ratepayers of the debt they, the state government, was complicit in with council in imposing on present and future ratepayers for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll provide a written response to you, Mr. Velicott.
Pardon?
We'll provide you a written response.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions from the gallery?
Peter Stegman, 118 River Road, East Devonport. Just like to follow on from a discussion that took place here some months ago, I think, from memory, when the council seemed to be a little bit keen to get the fire brigade and the ambulance centre moved from its present location. Have we progressed with that at all, or have we come to a stalemate? Has we got any progress at all?
Yep, through you, Mr. Mayor. Council has been in communication with both Ambulance Tasmania and the Fire Brigade, and has also spoken with the Premier and the Minister, I think it was the Emergency Services of Rean Hitting, in relation to it, and they understand some of the issues, particularly around the size of the building and those sort of things, but also access to and from the highway. But it's not on the high list of priorities at this stage, but they've certainly taken it under advisement.
Will Council pursue that issue on a regular basis, try and get some conclusion there, better result than what we've got so far?
I'd give you this undertaking, Mr. Stegman. It's certainly on Council's desk and in constant discussion with the ministers involved.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions from the gallery? No? Thank you very much. Now, before moving on to item 3.4.1, I'll ask that Alderman Rockliffe, Deputy Mayor, takes the chair for this article, so I may join the Alderman. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman. We have item 3.4.1, notice of motion.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Do I have a seconder? Thank you. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I bring this motion forward in the sense that there's been quite a bit of writing, I suppose, in the local advocate in relation to the various positions that some have in relation to the proposed helipad. And I won't complicate it to any great degree because there's a few other speakers to go on it. But really, at the end of the day, it is the most appropriate situation in relation to the health services that we have on the northwest coast. Now, I won't delve into whether they should be better or worse, whatever the case may be. But what I can tell you is that the health budget in Tasmania swallows up about $1.8 billion a year. So it's not hard to work out from any political party, be they Labor or Liberal, need to address those issues from the point of view of what you have in health services. And at this point in time, it seems to me to be the most appropriate path was to put a helipad into the Mersey Community Hospital. It's not in our jurisdiction, I know, but it services this whole area of which we're a big part of. And with a helipad actually at the hospital, it then gives the option to seriously ill people to be transferred to either Launceston or to Hobart in a very short space of time, far better than road transport and far better than fixed-wing aircraft. I have some information that came to me through the Minister's office, and I won't delve into to a great deal, but it generally gives out the benefits of putting a helipad into the hospital. So I'll leave it at that. Madam Chair. But we need to take a position on this so the people can see that the Devonport City Council are supportive of what the state government's doing in relation to a helipad at the Mersey General Hospital. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Look, I concur with Alderman Goodwin's thoughts, and I'm more than happy to second the motion. And frankly, I would also like to congratulate the state government on its plan to construct the helipad. I'd also take this rare indulgence, which I've not done in the past, to commend the state government on their handling of, more broadly speaking, the health issues of the northwest coast and, in fact, all of Tasmania, for that matter. We would all know in this room that reconciling increasing health services expectations with reality and finite resources is nigh impossible. but this government is demonstrating a clear path and resolve to improve Tasmania's health system in the face of some incredibly disappointing negativity. Apart from the helipad project, in May just gone, a $35 million investment in the Mersey was given from the Hodgman government. And on top of that, the mother of all deals, the 10-year $730 million deal, which basically shored up the Mersey Community Hospital for the for an indefinite future, for 10 years plus beyond, really was an outstanding result. And it was most disappointing that outstanding achievement that has never been achieved anything close to that before wasn't given the credit it deserved at the time and since. So, I'll take this opportunity to commend them on the path they've taken. Not everyone will be happy. We'll never reconcile the demands of health with the resources we have to fulfil those demands. But one thing is for sure, this government is sticking to its path and not deviating, and Minister Ferguson and his team deserve to be congratulated. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. I did allow Alderman Perry to deviate from the subject as the seconder of the motion. I did indulge that, but I won't indulge that continued conversation that isn't addressing the motion directly. Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. I suppose I'd just like to clarify that the reason this is coming up, and some people would say this isn't our business, we should be about roads, rates and rubbish. However, it was certainly brought to our attention by having an article in the paper, and then Michael Ferguson did write to us individually, and I'd like people just to understand that that's why we've decided to answer this on this platform. Seeing that Michael actually said, I would like to seek some clarity from the council as to your official position on the Mersey. So that's why we're doing this. I did speak with Michael and...
You do mean Minister Ferguson?
Minister Ferguson, thank you.
Thank you.
And I had some questions because I wanted to know more, because I had to make this a subject that I had to do some research into to know more, to make a decision. People had asked me, we thought the roundabout was built really big in that area, so that there could be an emergency landing there. He clarified that that was a too dangerous situation, there was too much road closures needed, that certainly was built for that reason, but it certainly can't be used for that reason. And I was personally involved when my father was actually in the hospital there, and they actually called to see if they could get a helicopter to take him to another hospital at the time. This is going back about 10 years ago. And that certainly couldn't happen at the time, so I certainly personally believe that there is a need for a helicopter there. A lot of people have said there's no need for one. We'd be damned if we do and damned if we don't. If Burnie has something and we don't, as Devonport have something, we always get criticised. Burnie Hospital has one. Now we're looking at getting one here. And we've also been told that this hospital is being supported by a community group, and I think that's a great thing. But I get confused because sometimes people that are speaking on behalf of that group sometimes say that they want to support the Mersey and keep the Mersey there, but the next thing they want another hospital in Ulverston instead.